All right, 1 Corinthians 14, first five verses read, follow the way of love. Sounds pretty good, yeah? Bible says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Okay? Follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than a one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets, so that the church might be edified. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you have great plans for us, Lord. You have things to accomplish, Lord, that you would meet us in this church, that you would equip us, Lord, to have great impact in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Is your brother out there? We're going to have a slight distraction as Belshazzar comes in, but I'm going to tell you about, there was a time in my life when I was dallying in golf. It was a short dally, okay? But, and I was not real good. And it was in Sacramento, and I remember driving out in Rancho Cordova. I don't know how many of you guys, anybody know where Rancho Cordova is? You know where Rancho Cordova is? Yeah. Well, south of Rancho Cordova, there's just like fields of weeds, right? And I'm driving out there doing something, and I see this sign, guaranteed golf lessons, $25. And I'm like, in a phone number, I'm like, wow, 25 bucks, I seriously need help. And I could afford 25 bucks. And if they're guaranteed, I got to find the guarantee. And he says, if you don't golf better, you don't have to pay. I'm all for that guarantee. Give me that, you know. And so I go out there, and it's actually in the dirt field. And he's got like a couple little pieces of sod there. And he's teaching me how to golf, right? And we hit the ball, and it just goes out in the dirt field. We got to go pick up the balls. I guess that's why it's only 25 bucks. But he had me doing this thing, and it's 20 years ago. I don't really remember what I had to do. But I was like, I had my elbow in, and I had my hand all torqued over. I mean, I could barely swing. I mean, I was like hitting the ball like 15 feet. He goes, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. It felt so unnatural. Are you tracking with me? It felt unnatural. But if I was going to get better, I had to change. Can you relate to that part? Amen. We are talking about staying on track with God. We're in this series called Being Touched by God. And God would have us change our lives so that we can get better. And we're talking about spiritual gifts. And sometimes spiritual gifts will feel a little unnatural. Yeah? Relate to that there, Mr. Aaron? All right, we're going to talk about a list. We talk about a list of spiritual gifts, miraculous powers. You got miraculous powers coming out of you. It might feel a little less than natural. Amen? Amen. I mean, you got the gift of healing. It's like, Larry, bam! Whoa, that's a little out of the ordinary, right? And so as we move from the natural, all you guys are good at natural. Amen? I was born in the natural. I'm good at natural. As we move from the natural into the supernatural, things can feel a little less than comfortable. And we can resist. We can try to hold back the change. Why might we feel that way? Because we're moving from the natural to the supernatural. And it causes us to stretch. It causes us to be different. It feels a little unnatural. And so what we can do is we get the tendency to have the natural, or have the try and shift that supernatural change that God has for us and make it a little bit more natural, right? We can kind of, it's like, oh, that's a little bit of a stretch for me. I think I'm going to tone down this whole worship thing. I mean, I don't know, raise your hands. I don't know. Love you, Lord, yeah. You know what I mean? See, and as we talk about spiritual gifts and moving into the spiritual realm, we can just kind of throttle it back because we want to make it fit us a little bit more, right? It's kind of like getting your spiritual life tailored to fit your natural life. And what we do is we try to take, we can have the tendency to try to take God's gift and make them into our gift. And we can take those things and we can kind of spin that gift that God has for our benefit so that we can be better. But as soon as we try to shift God's gifts and make them into our gifts, they're not God's gifts anymore.
That's right.
We have changed them. God's gift will always be God's gifts, used for His purposes and His plan. And rather than have us change His gifts to fit our lives, God would have us change our lives to fit His purpose and His plan. Amen? See, if we're going to get better, we're going to have to, what? Change. Amen? And so as we talk about the change we're looking at is what? A spiritual change. Moving from what we're comfortable with. Or somebody said, you know, I'm not real comfortable with that. You know, God is not so worried about your comfort. God is worried about where you're going to spend eternity. Because you ain't going to be comfortable where? In hell? It's going to be a little hot with my swimming suit. Ain't going to be no swimming pools in hell. It's just going to be hot. Right? God says, I'm not worried about your comfort. I want you making it with me for eternity. You're going to get better. You're going to have to change. This whole series, we are talking about getting on track with God and staying on track with God. Title of today's message is Staying on Track. Are we good?
Yes.
All right, let's take a look at this. All right, we're going to be going through, we did chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians last week. We're going to bounce back as far as 12, spend some time in 13, but we're really focusing on these first five verses of chapter 14 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Follow the way of love. God gives us, through the Apostle Paul, instructions for living, instructions for life. And he says, follow the way of love. We go, ooh, that sounds good. That sounds kind of natural. I'm very comfortable with that. I know about love. Well, we're going to take a look about that. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire. We're going to say eagerly, would you?
Eagerly.
Oh, there's not a lot of people here. So let's say it louder.
Eagerly.
Oh, I like it. It makes me feel like there's a bunch of people. Hallelujah. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. We're going to crank this open. I said we were going to go back, and we're going to talk about the way of love. And I'm going to read from the love chapter of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just wondering, all of you that are married, how many of you, if any of you, used verses from chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians in your wedding ceremony? We didn't do it. You did it? That's too. Oh, there you go. See? It's the love. People in love. Oh, look. It says, and it says, love is patient. See, some of you just shoot you right down right there. Oh, bummer. Yeah, you like that, huh? Okay, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Whoa, some other people just got disqualified. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's the way of love. People sign up and say, oh, they put this in their wedding because it's like people in love love to be in love, but oftentimes people are in love because it feels so good. People are in love because it makes me feel good, and they read these things, and it's like a wish list for them. Yeah, I'm going to put this in my wedding because this is what I want. Not what I'm looking to give, but what I'm looking to get. See, in the natural, love looks to get. But the Bible shows us love turned outward, right? The Lord shows us that as we love, the Lord's definition of love is to accurately assess the needs of another and then meet that need. Accurate, what does this person need? And then meet that need. God sitting in heaven. How many of you guys think heaven is better than this? Oh, yeah. No, yeah. So we're shooting for something. It better be better than this. Check it out. God is sitting in heaven and accurately sees our need for a solution for sin. Says these guys are not getting it. And he leaves heaven, born of a virgin, lives a sinless life, and hangs on a cross to pay for your sins. That is an accurate assessment of your need and meeting that need. Amen? That's what he says our lives should be marked by. Follow the way of love. Amen? All right. Point number two. Back to chapter 12, we're talking about these spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the tie between love and spiritual gifts in just a moment. But I wanted to rewind to last week and talk about these gifts. Because Paul would tell us, the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul would tell us that we need to move into this spiritual life. Why? So that we can turn our life outward. He would empower us to turn our life outward and to meet the needs of the people around us in a selfless way. Amen? Amen? All right. So let's talk about these gifts again. To one, he says, to everyone there is given a gift. You have a gift. You're saying, I don't have a gift. Then God's a liar. And God ain't a liar. Amen? So you don't know what you got. I got a whole stack of spiritual gift tests in my office that were left over from last week. You let me know. I will give you one, and you can figure out to the best of your ability, the gift that the Lord has given you. But he says, to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith. Aaron was talking about faith today. To another, there was faith given by the one Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. We talked about that. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. And there's that prophecy again. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Talked about Natty last week. She has that gift of distinguishing between spirits. Like, whoa, that's a scary guy. We watch those guys, okay? Why? Because we don't want you to be harmed. We want them to be cared for. We want them to be transformed. But the Lord says, whoa, here's a dangerous one coming at you. Make sense? To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. It's like, and we're going to talk about that. Paul says, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking the language of angels, right? And he says, and we talk about this, that you are actually speaking with your spirit, and that your mind is not fruitful, okay? And we're going to unwrap this a little bit more in the coming weeks. But I said, oh, man, I got to kind of lay a little foundation on that. I was looking through those notes this morning. So he says that as you speak in tongues, your mind is unfruitful, that God is giving you words to speak. And you speak those out of obedience, even though you don't understand what you're saying. It's this God thing. It's like, you know, and it's like, well, I'm less than comfortable about that. Again, God's not so worried about your comfort. He is way interested in your obedience. Amen? All right. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. He said, so we got speaking in tongues, and then we have the interpretation of tongues. Now, the interpretation of tongues is God will say, hey, Anthony, I want you to say this. And Anthony says, I don't know what he's talking about. But in obedience, he says it. And then he says to Juan, this is what Anthony's saying. And Juan, as soon as Anthony's done, everybody's going, what is Anthony saying? Juan goes, the Lord says, and interprets it. And that's how these gifts work together, right? And so Paul says that when we talk about eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts, this is the list of the gifts that Paul is talking about. Makes sense? We've got a list of gifts in chapter 12, and then he opens up chapter 14 saying, move into these gifts. Are you tracking with me? Are we okay? I don't want to leave anybody behind. This is some semi-advanced stuff, but we're going to talk about that. We looked about this last week. We need, and I want you, as I'm putting together this series, and we're taking a look at the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, happened 2,000 years ago. The church was born, and we commemorate that on, I think it's May 27th this year. Okay, so we're kind of building up to the day of Pentecost. Talk about spiritual gifts and the empowerment of people, that there is something more for you right now. Okay? If God has, I don't even know what I got. I should have checked. A $20 bill. Actually, a couple of 20s. If God had $20 bills stuck in the attic, right? And he says, man, if these guys would just ask, I'm going to slide these 20s through the ceiling. Drop them right in your lap. If God has that for you today, now, I'm making that up, okay? But if he had that for you today, would you want those 20s? Yeah, man, I got some laundry to do, man. I got about a fifth of a tank of gas I need, which is about what you can get with $20 these days. But he says that there are these gifts that are available for us in our lives to empower us. He wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So, that you might know the hope, that you might know the inheritance, and that you might know the incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen? And so he's writing this to a church, right? Why? Because they didn't know the hope, they didn't know the inheritance, and they did not know what? The power. And I would assume, I would believe, I would contend that we today, as we walk around, are living with less power than is available. It's like there's $20 bills all stacked up in the ceiling. All we had to do is say, Lord, rain down some 20s on me. Say, Lord, rain down some power on me. But that feels a little uncomfortable. Wow, I don't know. I've never experienced power from God. Lord, just give me a little bit, you know? Like, I don't want to do this. I'll take a nickel. It's a little bit more natural. Are you following me? I mean, it made the Bible. There was a whole church in Ephesus, a good church. They were living on less. Kind of like having static in your life. Living on less. God has more. He says, you should eagerly desire that. We should move into the spiritual. We should move after more. Jesus talked about it. He says, ask. This is Jesus talking. Should we believe what Jesus says? He says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask for what? 20s from the ceiling? Maybe not. But you ask for power from God. You ask for what God has said, I'm going to give you. I believe it's available. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. So my question for you this morning is, what are you receiving? Because if it's nothing, I don't think you're asking for anything. And if you're asking for something and you're not getting it, you need to ask God why. What is the holdup? Because I don't think it's with God. You know, that eagerly desire, you know, I get this picture, you know, of like a bulldog, you know, just like straining at its leash, you know. I got that picture there. Just eagerly, just go after those spiritual gifts. Go after that spiritual life. Go after that power. Go after that fullness of God. And my question is, are you doing it? Is this your spiritual seeking, or is this? Love you, Lord. Hope nobody sees. If Jesus is telling you to ask, do you think God is in the habit of giving? Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or which of you, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, sorry, not my words, Jesus' words, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen. So what are you asking for? And what are you getting? Because Paul says, eagerly, eagerly go after that spiritual life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go. Point number two. We got to do the best with what we got. Amen? Some of you are not. Some of you are doing less than the best with what you have. All right? Well, what is available? Now, what we have is good, but there is better on the way. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. There is better on the way. Oh, got confusion going on here. Chapter 13. Right now, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, when Jesus comes, there's going to be a change that is on the way. Amen? Amen? Right? He says, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Have you talked to a child lately? It can be challenging. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, just as I am fully known. We're living with less, but more is on the way. Better is on the way. Talk about heaven a little while ago. Which says, oh yeah, heaven's going to be better. What is on the way is better. Paul says, same book, next chapter. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash. Bam! Transformation happens. Power happens. We'll all be changed in a flash in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Amen. If you're going to get better, you're going to have to change. Are you willing? Are you looking for it? Are you running after it? Paul gives us a couple of illustrations of what this transformation and change might look like. First one, he says, it's like when I was a kid, I thought like a kid and I lived like a kid. And as I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now look at the difference between that man and that boy. That's a substantial difference, amen? And that is the difference. You think about yourself when you were a kid and the crazy stuff that you used to do. I used to do crazy stuff as a little kid. You ever eat dirt? Yes. Kids eat dirt. Yeah. When's the last time you ate dirt? I don't know. I tasted it once. That was enough for me. He says, now we see in a mirror like dimly, right? Like it's like looking through, like it's like looking through. Sometimes my windshield wipers look like that. You know, you ever drive like that? Can I get a witness? Yes, I drive like that, right? And you can just kind of navigate life like that. He says, that's what living like life is now, is like that. But better is coming. There is better that is on the way. And you can see the comparison between what we have now and what we will have. And he says, go after it. Now, he says, do the best with what you got. And he says, seek more than what you have. What is coming is going to be better. What is available to us now, the supernatural, the incomparably great power of God that is available to us now is the leading edge of that right picture. We got the fingernail, the leading edge of the kingdom of God. But if you can grab onto the leading edge of the kingdom of God now, everything else pales in comparison. He says, eagerly desire. Run after it like that dog dragging that owner. With everything that you have, go after those spiritual gifts. Amen?
Amen.
It'll make a change in your life. Beginning of chapter 13. Talking about love and spiritual gifts. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong. I got a gong up here, you know, kind of a gong. How'd you like to sound like that? Gong all the time. That's what I am, a resounding gong. That's what our lives are. If we have not love, he says, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, I have not love, I gain nothing. We're going to change. If we're going to get better, we got to change. And we face challenges to the change that we need to have. You have challenges this week. Amen? Could be, I don't want to really be embarrassed. We can take wrong turns on the road to change. How do we make those wrong turns? God will empower us, equip us, and we can take that empowerment and that equipping and we can try and turn it to our own gain. We can try and take that outward-focused love and turn it into a selfish, self-focused love. We can take that supernatural and make it natural. It's a challenging thing. Lisa's been looking. I told you a couple weeks ago that Leanne is on track to get her driver's license. And the insurance was proving to be too expensive, but Lisa found a deal on insurance, and it might possibly happen. And I remembered back to when I was 16, driving, had a car. And I remember Friday night, I got a little accident, and wrecked my car. So Saturday, I wanted to go out with my buds and ask my mom, Mom, can I borrow your car? Ran into a curb, busted her axle, busted her car. Whoops. So I go to my dad, hey, Dad, Sunday, can I borrow your car? He says, Son, you done busted two of my cars this week already. I can't afford you. No, you can't have my car. See, there's a learning curve. Amen? There's a learning curve to the spiritual life as well. And the Corinthian church was struggling with that. They were taking private gifts, gifts that were meant for them, and using them in the wrong way. I mean, we struggle a lot with just getting them.
Like, oh, that's unnatural. I think I'll just throw the whole thing out, like throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
No, but what they were doing is they were going after these spiritual gifts like crazy and then using them in the wrong way. And we're going to take a look at that, and that's going to be the end of our time. God gives us public and private gifts. And we're going to talk about the difference, and we talked about this just for just a little bit, the difference between prophecy and the difference between tongues. It says, these are the first five verses that we read. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him, not even himself. He utters mysteries with his spirit, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church might be edified. God gives us a private gift of tongues. And I'm going to talk to you about that for a moment. God gives us the ability to speak to him. And my wife has a specific way she speaks to us. She calls everybody in her house honey. Consequently, we don't know who she's speaking to. Honey, can you get that for me? It's like, who's she talking to and what does she want? You know,
But so it's like this secret language that she has. You might have like a little, I always call her babe. A lot of people do that. Hey, babe, baby. Yeah. Have this like little secret language that we have to communicate. God gives you a language to speak just to him. Isn't that cool? God gives you a language to speak to him. Don't you, do you want that? Yeah. Like, no, I don't think so. Keep those 20s, God. I don't need them. Anything God has for you is good. Amen? God gives you a language that you might speak to him. He says, anyone who speaks in tongues speaks to God. And then he says, it's a good thing. He says, it's a good thing. I want everyone to speak in tongues. Does that sound like a good thing? Amen? Yeah? Are you on track with me? He says, 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He's a fan of speaking in tongues. Amen? So, if you're not a fan, speaking in tongues or other spiritual gifts, you got to say, why? If I ask God for a fish, he's going to give me a snake? If I ask him for a piece of bread, is he going to give me stone? No. I can trust God. God is trustworthy. Now, he says that when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Now, edify, I would doubt that anyone in here used the word edify this week. Okay? It's just not a word that just comes rolling. I'm edifying. No, it's like the word comes from building a house. Okay? And he says, as you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. You build yourself up. You build your now, how many of you guys like a nice house? How many of you guys just want to live in a shack? Oh, I'm a shack person, Pastor. I'm a tent person. I don't even need a tent. Just give me a sleeping bag and let me sleep outside. No, right? No, we don't mind having a nice house. God says, when you speak in tongues, you are building your own house. And he says, that's okay. And he says, let me tell you about prophesying. Prophesying builds up the church. Right? And so we have this private thing and we have this public thing. Both are good. Can I get a witness on that? Right? Because we don't want to live in shacks and we don't want the church to be a shack. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let me see. We're talking about, let me see, where am I? Got to get back to this. Here we go. All right. But in all this, we can get mixed up. We can start using the private gift instead of the public gift. We use a private gift in the public setting. And when we're here, when we're in church, God wants us to be building up the church. Right? I mean, how many of you guys were blessed by what Aaron was saying earlier? Right? Pretty cool, right? Except he forgot the announcements, but you know, we'll forgive him for that. He caught up on that. It was cool. And it was for, God was doing a thing in him that was for all of us. But if he would have been doing, got up here and started speaking and just was talking about stuff for himself, it's like, well, what's he doing, man? It's kind of, he's just all about him. And so when we're in church, we need to be doing church stuff, and we're at home, God gives us the ability to build ourselves up. And what the problem was in Corinth was they were misusing those gifts and mixing them up. We take those public gifts and turn them towards ourselves. You know, these cell phones can be annoying, right? I mean, you're sitting there talking and, you know, and everybody's chatting and you're in a group and then somebody gets a phone call. Call Pastor Dave. Love these things, man. They just go. And so, they're going? Yeah, calling. And so, I'm sitting here talking to you, and if I began a conversation with Pastor Dave, right? I mean, he'd be going, what's he doing? How you doing, Pastor Dave? Well, that's good. Now, how's the tournament going? Not good?
But lost both games. Okay. Oh, that's good. Okay. All right.
See, you're going, what is he doing up there? Man, it's like, that's a private thing, right? Now, that's what speaking in tongues is like. It's a private thing. Prophesying is different. Prophesying is for everybody. It builds up the church. Prophets are called what? The mouthpiece of God, right? And so when I am up here, I'm not doing a private thing. I'm doing a public thing. Okay? Are you following with me? And he says that there's a twist. He says, if that gift of tongues is interpreted, it becomes just like prophecy. Okay? Are you tracking with me? It's like taking the phone call. Are you still there, Pastor Dave? It's like taking the phone call and putting it on speaker. Can you talk now, Pastor Dave?
Yes.
You hear me? You hear him?
Yes.
Can you guys hear him?
Yes.
All right. You're talking to everybody now, Pastor Dave. Anything you want to share with them?
All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Pastor Dave. All right. Yeah, I would like to share. I've been going to some basketball tournaments, and my son coaches a 17-year-old team. And I bring this to you for a reason. On Thursday, one of the boys was playing basketball at 17 and suddenly died. It's kind of shocking, you know. And I've been to some funerals in the last month. Most of the folks are older, and you sort of expect that. But when you're 17, it's kind of unexpected. And Jesus said this in Acts 7. He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates of the Father. The Father is set by his own authority. You know, we never know when something's going to happen. And you must always be prepared to meet God, because someday we're all going to meet him. Someday we're all going to die in this body and go to eternity somewhere. And the hard thing for me is my son, when he shared this with me, I had an opportunity to share the Lord with him, because many of you know that he is not saved. And I don't know why, but I didn't do that. You know, the second part of that verse is, in verse, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And, you know, I really feel bad, because I did not call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to help me share with my son. But I know that God will, because he's faithful, will give me another chance. So you all be blessed, and listen to the Holy Spirit, to what the Holy Spirit is saying. God bless you all. I love you all. And I have my eyes closed, and I can vision where each of you are sitting. So God bless you, and I love you.
Bless you. Thank you. Now, isn't that way different, putting it on speaker and talking here? The God says, I want to empower you to have impact in your life and in the lives around you. And a 17-year-old boy playing hoops, getting ready for a tournament, drops dead. Bam. The opportunity to share the gospel with his son, who he's prayed for just ever since he's been a Christian, 25 years. No one in his family is saved, but he's Pastor Dave. He has the training and the spiritual power to be able to move into those situations. He missed this one. He says, I'm not going to miss the next one. He says, God says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. You will have impact. You will make a difference. Come in here today. I don't know if you feel like you're making an impact. If you want to get better, you're going to have to change. If you want to get better, you say, not this, but Lord, whatever you have, the gifts that you have, the call that you have, the job that you have in my life, Lord, I will make that sacrifice for what I'm comfortable with, for what I'm natural with, and I will move into that which I am less than comfortable with, into that which is supernatural. Lisa, would you come up and play? As we close our time, Lord, I come before you this morning, Lord, and there are people that are here that are struggling. Maybe you are here and you are just feeling left out. And the change that you need to make is a change, just a sacrifice, a surrender of your life. Just a Lord, I have done my own thing my whole life. I have always been focused on myself, on my desires, on my wants. And today, Lord, I see it. I want to take my life and turn it outward. And I want you to come in and make a transformation in me. Come in here today and you are looking for God to come and touch you and transform you. No one's looking around right now. But the Lord is speaking right to your heart. And he's saying, enough. I'll save you today. I'll transform you today. And not with just a finger, but with your hand, you would say, Lord, okay, here I am. I'll surrender my life to you, Lord. I want to serve you. I want you to come into my life and transform me. Nobody looking around. But you need to make a big change in your life. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, right here, God, here I am. I want that change right here and right here and right here and right there. Right here, yes, hallelujah. Right there, praise the Lord. If this is what you want, right here, yes. If this is what you want, I'm just slide your hand. If you already put your hand up and I saw it, you can put it down over there, it's fine. But if you have not put it up high and you want this, I just want you to slide your hand up high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right over here, yes. Right there, yes, yes, yes. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that. You have surrendered your life to the Lord and you have experienced those spiritual gifts and you are thinking, you know, I've been kind of using those for me. I've been trying to kind of do what the Corinthians have been doing and just taking those spiritual gifts that are meant for the people around me and I've been using them for my good and my gain. And you're saying, Lord, oh, forgive me for being so selfish. Lord, forgive me for being so focused, Lord, for taking that turn to change. I should have been going straight, Lord. Should have been going straight, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be making those curves anymore, Lord. I want to be running to you. I want to be better. I want to be changed more. Still nobody looking around, but now the Lord is speaking to you, saying, oh, yeah, I'll use you, my son. I'll use you, my daughter. I've been trying to, but we've been having this tug of war. You've been taking my supernatural gifts and trying to make them fit you rather than changing you to fit them. Right now, this morning, you'd say, oh, Lord, here I am. Oh, Lord, I see it now. I've been trying to bend your will to my situations rather than just surrender all and follow you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you've been doing in my life, Lord. I am going to be your faithful steward. I'm going to come running after you, Lord. That's you. Right here. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me. I have been a good steward with God's gifts. Right there, I see your hand. Right here, yeah. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me right there, yeah. Last one. You've been feeling pretty good. And Lord, I have been experiencing transformation and growth in my life, Lord. I am serving you with my whole heart, Lord. I have received your gifts, Lord, and to the best of my ability, Lord, I am being faithful with your gifts. And you're just thinking right now, Lord, I want more. Lord, I want more of what you have. I want more of you in my life, Lord. I want bigger gifts, more, Lord. I want to make a bigger impact for you, Lord. I want to be transformed in my life. That's you this morning. I just like to just have you just stand where you're at. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want all that you have. All that you have, Lord. Meet me right here. Meet me right here. We're going to sing a song. If you just want that, I just want you to just put your hands up where you're at. And we just ask, Lord, come and fill us up, Lord. Empower us and equip us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. 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 Hallelujah.